just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, how are you doing, girls? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's read that again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We have a guest today. I think you'll be fascinated with our subject. I hope it helps us understand some of the things that are going on in the world today. Bill Shepherd, say hi.
Hello.
I've asked Bill to come because did you say 20 years you were into meditation?
Yeah, from the late 1960s through, I guess, the late 1980s. I was interested in the popular culture at that time, and the Beatles were going very strong, and there was a lot of interest in Eastern philosophy, particularly meditation. The Beatles used to follow somebody called Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and they switched over to another yogi a few years later, and I can't remember his name. But there were a lot of people at that time coming here from India and teaching meditation of one form or another. A lot of people coming from Tibet teaching tantric yoga, which is a rather bizarre form of yoga.
Who were they teaching?
They were teaching a lot of young people in their teens and 20s and up into their 30s. And I had met some people who were a little bit older. I used to go to an ashram in Philadelphia where a very popular teacher was teaching people how to meditate.
What's an ashram?
An ashram is a home or like a church. It's for the yoga master.
Oh.
Sometimes a yogi will live in an ashram, or he'll have his headquarters at an ashram, and he'll have teachers go there and teach people for him. It seemed the practice of meditation was popular, I guess, for about 15 years or so, and then it seemed to fade out and die culturally. Now it's coming back again, but it's coming back in a slightly different form than it originally did. And I think once you've been through this, or if you have experienced an interest in this subject, you know that it has the promise of reaching God on your own terms, which is wrong. And people feel empowered by this. They learn techniques of yoga, which is to calm the mind, focus the attention using an object like a mantra or following your breath to still the mind, and then a transformation eventually is supposed to happen. And if that is practiced, there will be a transformation that does happen eventually. However, you may be a little disappointed in it. It's a very peaceful experience. You gain a different kind of perspective. However, one thing that turned me away from it was I felt that I was cut off from God. I was alone within myself. I had no access to any of the vital issues that would confirm to me that I was trying to unite with God, or that I was in the process of uniting with God. Many people who practice meditation find that they don't speak about God very much.
It's not based at all on the Bible, is it?
No, it's not based on the Bible at all. The Bible is God's instruction manual to humans on how to speak to Him, how to live by Him, how to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible also gives us a history of what God has done. Meditation does not provide any of that information. It gives you a chance to relax, become very calm and peaceful within yourself, and that peace grows, and it changes your mind considerably, but it's not permanent. I felt as though I was totally cut off from the world, completely alone within myself, which is why I stopped doing that.
I want to ask about this contemplative mysticism. Is that the same thing?
Yes. It's a slightly different form today. There is a lot more promise explained than there is technique that is explained today. These contemplative mystics, they tell you that you can combine your belief in Christianity, your belief in the Bible, along with the practice of meditation. And this is, again, people wanting to have power and authority themselves to approach God. People cannot seem to understand that God wants faith. He will draw near to people if they trust in Him, if they believe in His word. Meditation takes you away from Scripture. It is taking power in your own hands, doing things your own way. Now, even though they tell you that you can sit and you can meditate, use a mantra, or just follow your breath with your attention, this is something that draws people's interest because they feel it is something that they can do.
To bring
themselves to God.
Yeah, I was reading about this man, Eric Tolle, who said, it's been said of him in 2008, he was, by the New York Times writer, he said that Tolle was the most popular spiritual author in the United States. And some people thought he was really mentally ill, but suddenly he comes up with walking along in London and feeling peace and becoming in a state of bliss on a park bench. And he seemed to be in himself, and within himself was drawn to know all about the world, so to speak.
Well,
what do you make of this kind of thing?
This part of this, what he's saying, he got from reading a lot of books on yoga in the past.
You think so?
Yes. Now, it's understandable that he can have an experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that does happen. Even though you can't induce such a state, you can set the conditions for it.
Uh-huh.
And it does happen. You become somewhat transformed.
Hmm.
However, it's not God you're drawing near to.
Hmm.
It's very difficult to explain. There's a point where words just don't have any effect anymore, or have any actual meaning. But meditation is a process of stilling the mind and then emptying the mind of thoughts. And you can't empty the mind by suppressing it. You empty your mind by listening. And that's listening to a mantra or following your breath, focusing your attention on that. And then changes do happen. They may not happen right away. It may take months. It could take years.
What kind of changes?
You become very, very peaceful. Your thoughts do not control you anymore. you're very calm. There's a, even physically, you feel very calm. There's a sense of dimensionality in your vision that you never experienced before.
You mean in seeing?
Yes, even in seeing, there's a sense of dimensionality from where your eyes are to the object to the, that you're looking at. It's enhanced considerably. So it does seem to initially have some reward, and it's easy to understand why some people would think that they are drawing nearer to God. However, if they continue to do it, they will find that they're not actually drawing nearer to God. They're drawing deeper into a world within themselves and isolating themselves from God.
I read here that in Touch magazine, Charles Stanley's magazine, he promotes blatant contemplative mysticism. And note the following, quote, "Solitude is a deliberate choice to spend time with God and give him your undivided attention." And that's what my first suggestion is, to find a silent place. This is what Stanley must have said, that's free from distractions. And once you're there, the next step is to do nothing but make yourself available to God in that moment. It goes on and on and on like that, sensing God's presence, and yet it seems a little foreign to me.
It is. I'm a little surprised to hear that from Charles Stanley, because he's pretty well versed in doctrine.
Yes.
So I would, you know, I don't know where he's coming from there. The human imagination, it is an amazing thing. There are some forms of meditation which call for using your imagination.
And he said,
discover things that way.
He said, through solitude we become intimate with God, and nothing in this world compares with knowing him deeply. And I got this from David Cloud's Friday News Notes, September 30th, 2011. And what David Cloud said is, what Stanley is recommending is not biblical meditation. It is blind mysticism that is borrowed from Rome's dark monastic past. Stanley is not explaining how to get along with God without distractions and study and meditate on scriptures and pray. He is explaining how to sit in silence and do nothing, expect God to meet me in that context.
That's
so
right.
That's rather frightening, isn't it?
Right, and what he is experiencing is his own imagination. It is not God. As we study the scriptures, we find out that God is not totally passive like that. He doesn't just simply bring a sense of peace. He brings completeness, and he brings understanding to us, and we don't get that through meditation.
Now, you said your favorite verse was James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded."
Yes.
So that's draw nigh to God, and
yes,
he will draw nigh to you. Thank you very much, Bill, for being on our program today. And it's helped us understand
You're
better.
You're listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?